जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जयो जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिव, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवरधा, यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन, यशोदानन्दन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन, यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जयो जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जयो जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद् भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की, नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की, यमुना मैया गंगा मैया की, भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की, कलयुग पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की, निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत्. नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोकैर्भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकैः. हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम एवरीवन. सो टुडे वी आर reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text number 41 and 42. Sakshat Bhagavat Doktena Guruna Harinandrapa Vishuddha Jnana Deepena Spurata Vishvato Mukham. Sakshat Bhagavat Doktena Guruna Harinandrapa Vishuddha Jnana Deepena Spurata Vishvato Mukham. Sakshat Bhagavatoktena Guruna Harinandrapa Vishuddha Jnana Deepena Spurata Vishvato Mukham. Sakshat Bhagavata Uktena Guruna Harinandrapa Smurata Vishvato Mukham. Shuddha Jnana Deepena Spurata Vishvato Mukham. Sakshat Bhagavatoktena Guruna Harinandrapa Vishuddha Jnana Deepena Purata Vishvato Mukham. Matajis. Sakshat Bhagavatoktena Guruna Harinandrapa Vishuddha Jnana Deepena Spurata Vishvato Mukham. Sakshat, directly. Bhagavata, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Uktena, instructed. Guruna, the spiritual master. Harina, by Lord Hari. Nirpa, O King. Vishuddha, pure. Jnana, knowledge. Deepena, by the light of. Sphurata, enlightening. Vishvata Mukham, all angles of vision. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this way, King Malayadhvaja attained perfect knowledge because in his pure state he was directly instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By means of such enlightening, transcendental knowledge, he could understand everything from all angles of vision. Purport. In this verse, the words Sakshat Bhagavatoktena Guruna Harina are very significant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead speaks directly to the individual soul when the devotee has completely purified himself by rendering devotional service to the Lord. Lord Krishna confirms this also in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. I give the understanding by which they can come to me. The Lord is the super soul seated in everyone's heart, and he acts as the Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within. However, he gives direct instructions only to the advanced pure devotees. In the beginning, when a devotee is serious and sincere, the Lord gives him directions from within to approach a bona fide spiritual master. When one is trained by the spiritual master according to the regulative principles of devotional service and is situated on the platform of spontaneous attachment for the Lord, Raga Bhakti, the Lord also gives instructions from within. Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. This distinct advantage is obtained by a liberated soul. Having attained this stage, King Malayadhvaja was directly in touch with the Supreme Lord and was receiving instructions from him directly. Text 42. Pare Brahmani Chatmanam Param Brahma Tathatmani Vikshamano Vidhayeksham Asmat Upararam Ha. King Malayadhvaja could thus observe that the super soul was sitting by his side, and that he, as the individual soul, was sitting by the side of the super soul. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests. Thus he ceased from such activities. In the advanced stage of devotional service, the devotee does not see anything separate between his own interest and those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both interests become one, for the devotee does not act for a separate interest. Whatever he does in the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, he sees everything in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. Having attained this stage of understanding, he sees no distinction between the spiritual and material worlds. In perfect vision, the material world becomes the spiritual world due to its being the external energy of the Supreme Lord. For the perfect devotee, the energy and the energetic are non-different. Thus, the so-called material world becomes spiritual. Sarvam Kalavindam Brahma. Everything is intended for the service of the Supreme Lord. And the expert devotee can utilize any so-called material thing for the Lord's service. One cannot serve the Lord without being situated on the spiritual platform. Thus, if a so-called material thing is dovetailed in the service of the Lord, it is no longer to be considered material. Thus, the pure devotee, in his perfect vision, sees from all angles. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swavadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye वाञ्छाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीपादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम। सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग द स्टोरी ऑफ प्राचीनी भरिषद। To give a background to those devotees who have not been present in the previous sessions. So Narad Muni, being the intelligent preacher that he is, he has been able to preach to everyone, from hunters to kings to a small child, Dhruva Maharaj, Mrigari, and Prachini Bharishad, Manigrib, Nalkuver. So Narad Muni is so expert, he changes his strategy depending on the recipient. There is not one standard message. So that expertise comes by being in touch with Krishna. The intensity of Narad Muni's devotion led him to be so expert in transforming hearts of people. So this story is about Narad Muni telling an allegorical story to King Prachini Bharishad. So when somebody is established, somebody is famous and has authority, and you have to point out their mistakes, or you have to teach them something, how do you tell them? If you tell them directly, they might take offense and the learning may never happen. So stories are a very good way to transfer knowledge. Stories, poetry, allegories. So that is how, just by hearing a story, Prachini Bharishad, who is the subject of this story, Narad Muni weaves a beautiful story of another king called Puranjan, who actually, Narad Muni is referring to Prachini Bharishad himself. So he's telling the story of another king, but it is actually his own story. So it makes it more palatable to hear. So it's a very long story spanning across a few chapters in Bhagavatam. So what happens in the current situation is that the story in that Narad Muni is narrating, so the king Puranjan, he is materially attached. He's suffering, he's lamenting, and he's not able to figure out a way. And he quits his body in that distressful state of material attachment. And because he's remembering his wife excessively at the time of death, in the next life he becomes a woman. He gains the body of a woman. So that woman is the daughter of the king of Vidarbha, Vaidarbhi. And that Vaidarbhi is married to a great king called Malayadhvaja. And today's shloka is talking of this Malayadhvaja. So this Malayadhvaja is a pure devotee. So in the allegory, Malayadhvaja is actually referring to the guru. So anyone who devotes themselves to the guru, like Narad Muni is hinting that Puranjan, you should become like Vaidarbhi and devote yourself to the guru, then you will achieve success. So this is the context, the background. Now coming to today's shloka, very beautiful points are covered by Prabhupada. So all of us are practicing the path of bhakti. What is essentially bhakti? Bhakti is the promise of a loving relationship with a personal God. Right? How would your bhakti be nourished? When you receive reciprocation. What if I tell you, you can speak to the Lord? You can hear from the Lord. So this is the state that King Malayadhvaja is in. The Lord is talking to him. In the next shloka, it said, Malayadhvaja realizes that he and Paramatma are sitting next to each other. So this is not a matter of faith. It's a matter of experience. So we will cover that in today's discussion. What is the power of personal experience in bhakti? How can we talk to the Lord, or how can we hear the Lord? Will we ever be able to hear the Lord? You know, how many of us aspire to hear from the Lord and talk to the Lord? So, in our conditioned state, who are we talking to? It's only our mind, our conditioned mind, which is talking to us. And it is pulling us in our conditionings deeper and deeper. Only being able to hear the Lord can draw us out from that conditioned state. And then in the 42nd shloka, Prabhupada also touches the point of, once somebody has gained a higher vision, there is no difference between material and spiritual for them. So this is the concept that Gita introduces as yajna. If you do something with the right perspective, the same thing will not lead to bondage but will lead to liberation. How amazing is that perspective? So we'll cover these few points in today's discussion and see what is the step-by-step way that we can hear the Lord or be guided by the Lord directly. So, an instance, one of Prabhupada's disciples, in fact, Prabhupada, his disciples were being interviewed by a news reporter in USA. So, that reporter asked Prabhupada, seeing Prabhupada's voluminous work, his books. So, she asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, how did you manage to write so many books? So, Prabhupada said, Krishna spoke them to me. So, the reporter didn't get it. God, Krishna, dictated. So, the reporter asked again and Prabhupada repeated, Krishna dictated it to me. So, that is what we are hearing today. Sakshat Bhagavata Oktena. Srila Prabhupada was also at this platform of being a Siddha, because Lord does not talk to everyone. He talks to those who have reached a certain level of devotion. So, the reporter was still not convinced. So, Prabhupada, one of Prabhupada's disciples, he intervened. He tried to justify. Actually, what Swamiji means is that Krishna inspired him from within the heart and then he wrote. Prabhupada stared at that disciple. Krishna dictated it to me. That's what I mean. Don't try to correct me. So that is the state at which advanced devotees are, ekanta bhaktas are, and that is our goal. So if you see, we'll talk a little bit of philosophy and then come back to story. So please bear with me. Two things Prabhupada points out. How will we reach that stage? Don't all of us aspire to reach a stage where we are doing ekanta bhakti, where the turmoil and turbulence of sadhana does not bother us anymore and we are steady, we are in samadhi for good and it's just me and Krishna. So that is achieved. First we need to have spiritual understanding, which requires some study. So Prabhupada is saying in this purport, what do we have to understand? Everything is intended for the service of the Supreme Lord. Everything is in Krishna and Krishna is in everything. So this is discussed in chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita. So these are powers of Krishna. One, first is the power of pervasiveness. Krishna being in everything. Easy to understand? Sarvavyapi, Bhagavan. Krishna is present in everything. That is the power of pervasiveness. Second is the power of containment. Everything is in Krishna. Everything that exists has basis as Krishna. Even Brahman, which the Mayavadis, impersonalists try to achieve, is Krishna says, Brahmano hi pratishta aham. So Brahman is also based on Krishna. Krishna's effulgence also has Krishna's basis. So can anything exist which does not have Krishna's basis? That if there is something like that, that will be called Maya. That which is not, because it does not have Krishna as its basis. So this is the perspective Krishna wants us to understand. This coming in 40, the shloka before this, in fact, spoke of this. Vyapakataya, by all pervasiveness. So to reach that level of advanced devotion, we have to first try and learn to see Krishna everywhere. And also understand and be convinced that everything rests on Krishna. So these two vibhutis of Krishna we should understand. Power of containment and power of pervasiveness. That makes him God, right? Because no one else can do it. Can anyone be all-pervading? And can someone claim that I am the basis of everything? That's ridiculous. So, and beautifully then Prabhupada also says that when one reaches that stage, a devotee does not see anything separate between his interest and those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why do you think we experience dissatisfaction in our lives? The cause of dissatisfaction is misalignment of desires. As jivas, what do we desire? And as creator, what Krishna desires? What he actually wanted us to do? Jivara Swarupai Krishnara Nityada. So Krishna had another plan in creation and we are acting in a very different way. So because our desire and Krishna's desire are misaligned, that is the cause of dissatisfaction. We can never be happy. And that state will not lead us to contribute our maximum potential. If you are not convinced in the good intentions of your leader, will you put in the hard work? So that is what gives us apathy, indifference and lethargy in bhakti. Because we are not really convinced of Krishna. We have not aligned our desire to Krishna's desires. So, just a side reference, so in this story, Malayadhvaja has a daughter and that daughter is spoken of as being black-eyed. So black-eyed refers to having devotion for Krishna because Krishna is black. So when we have that premanjan, when we have that love for Krishna, that is the perspective Prabhupada is talking of in the 42nd shloka. Once you have that, then everything is spiritual for you. We know of great devotees. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he used to see earlier there was a steam engine. We cannot visualize that easily now. So it was a black engine with black smoke coming out and then there was the rest of the train. So Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Das Maharaj Babaji used to see that and used to say Krishna is running and gopis are following him. Now, somebody who is mundane, they will not understand. They'll say, something is wrong with Babaji. But who actually, something is wrong with who? We know it is for those who have not purified their materialism. Because we cannot see Krishna everywhere. We are the problem. Our material covering is the problem. So when we say Cheto Darpana Marjana, what is the dust that we have to clean? That is the dust of materialism. So what is? So if ignorance is the root cause of all our problem, avidya, raga, dvesh, abhinivesh, asmita, because of ignorance, because we really don't know who we are, how we are connected to God, and what is our purpose of life, because of being rooted in ignorance, we create another identity, which is false. It's called mithya ahankar. And then we start to act based on those identity. And then everything goes downhill from there. So first, if ignorance is the problem, is the disease, what do you think will be the antidote? Knowledge. Transcendental knowledge. So the first step is to gain transcendental knowledge. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvata. Or Krishna says, yo mam ajam anadim cha. Veti Loka Maheshwara. So what is the right understanding of who Krishna is? Without understanding Krishna's position, Krishna's greatness, Krishna's opulences, Krishna's qualities, we will not have conviction in our bhakti. So when Lord speaks about his own nature in Bhagavad Gita, especially in chapters 10 and later, where he describes his own glory, why is Krishna doing that? So after understanding Krishna's vibhuti, yad yad vibhuti matsattvam, that anything amazing I see is a spark of Krishna's splendor. So we have to learn to see Krishna in everything that's beautiful and great. So once we cultivate that, we will reach a stage of satatam. That is what Prabhupada is quoting in this shloka 41. Tesham satata yuktanam. So to reach the level of constant practice, constant sadhana, and priti purvakam, to do it constantly and to do it with love, what is required is the transcendental knowledge that Krishna is great. So after having transcendental knowledge, we are convinced that Krishna is a worthy object of my worship. And then we start to worship him. And how do we worship him? That process is described in this shloka 10.10 from Bhagavad Gita. This is the part of Chatushloki. So it says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mama upayantite. So you see the sequence. First is to understand the absolute nature of Krishna, then to start worshipping Krishna. How? Satatam and priti purvakam. What do we have to do? Loving service. If we can manage to do loving service constantly, sincerely, that's why His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in so many of his classes, he says, seriously, sincerely and without ulterior motives. Where is that coming from? This is coming from Chatushloki. So seriously, sincerely, without ulterior motives, if we continue to do loving service, we attract Krishna's attention and our mission is accomplished. Because by our own endeavor, we cannot overcome Maya. We are not yogis. Yogis may try, but they still cannot. At least they have that misconception that they can. But devotees are very clear right from the start. Daivihi eshu gunamai mama maya duratya mam eva ye prapadyante maya metantarantite. So we, our role is to do only sincere, loving service. Simple. Rest, Krishna does for us. So in this shloka he says, I guide that devotee from within. Jnana deepena bhaswata. So I enter the heart of that devotee and with the lamp of knowledge, I remove the darkness. So these are the steps. One is to understand Krishna in reality. Next is to worship him and serve him with love. Then the Lord reveals further way to us. Because we might feel that Raga Nuga is impossible for me. I'm hopeless case. But we should continue to do our sincere loving service. Krishna enters and the Krishna magic happens. Can Krishna not do something? Krishna is capable of doing anything. So the power of bhakti should not be underestimated in front of the power of our conditionings. We are too attached to our current identity. So we don't see the possibility of us as pure devotees. So because we are not able to see Krishna's hand in between. So we are supposed to do only loving, sincere service and attract Krishna's grace. Rest is Krishna's job and he is assuring that. If you see the language in which Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita in Chatushloki, even in the section in Apichet Sudurachar, he becomes so possessive of his devotees. Apichet sudurachara, sadureva samantavya, samyak vyavasthi tohisa. That if somebody has taken shelter of me, I guarantee that I'll protect him. So the sequence of apichet sudurachara is something, someone commits some offense accidentally. Then if Krishna goes on to say, even if they are sinful, I'll take care of them. So Krishna is going out of his way to guide his devotees. So that is our only hope in life, Krishna's mercy. And we are supposed to be sincere and attract that grace. So what is this transcendental knowledge that we are talking of, which we have to gain? It's actually mundane knowledge that we pursue in an academic world out there. It's just understanding matter. So if we take an example of a tree, how would material academic knowledge go about studying a tree? It would go about studying the composition, the color, the cross-section, the carbon dating. But that, Prabhupada says, that is material knowledge. What is the jnana that we are, what is the real meaning of knowledge? The real meaning of knowledge is to see both material energy and spiritual energy in everything. That is called spiritual knowledge. So Prabhupada was always complaining that yes, science has made so much advancement, but you don't understand. You're only touching the material energy part of it. Why don't you talk about the spiritual energy in everything? So does a tree have spiritual energy? Yes, because it is growing, it is blossoming, and it is decaying. So that spirit, to have the knowledge of both the material energy and the spiritual energy inside a tree, is called spiritual knowledge, is called transcendental knowledge, is called jnana. So that, without understanding the spiritual aspect of things, our knowledge is only mundane and it is not going to help us. We can only derive bodily comforts, but we cannot derive any direction from that. So that, to understand the difference between matter and spirit, that is the Vishuddha Jnana that Krishna reveals to us. So, now, does it seem a little yogic when I say that Lord in the heart reveals instructions to you? Because that is what yogis aspire to achieve. They aspire to connect to the Paramatma in them. So when Krishna says Sakshat, when he uses the word Sakshat, he is distinguishing himself from Paramatma. These are not instructions from the Super Soul. These are instructions from Bhagavan. Please don't be mistaken. Malayadhvaja is a pure devotee, an Ananya Bhakta, not a yogi. So Paramatma speaks to yogis. I mean, that's already a very big deal. But the point is, Krishna directly speaks to pure devotees. Do we have any instances? So many. To start, when the creation started, Brahmaji, the first being, was confused. Tene Brahma Hridaye Adikavaye. So Lord spoke to Brahma and told him how to go about doing this creation. So that Brahmaji, of course, he did tapa and reached that level of purified existence that attracted Krishna's attention. And then Krishna spoke to him. Madhavendra Puri, the Lord is speaking to him. He was in a village and one little boy comes up to him. He says, please, O Baba, the women in the village have seen that you have not eaten since morning and you also look tired. So they have given me a pot of milk to give to you. So Madhavendra Puri accepts it. And the boy leaves. He said, I'll come and collect it back. And when Madhavendra Puri actually drinks the milk, he realizes this is not ordinary milk, this is nectar. That boy has to be someone special. And he's waiting for the boy to return to take the pot, but the boy never returns. So what happens? Krishna speaks to him. Krishna comes in his dream as Gopal. He says, it was me who came to give you that, but I am actually buried here in the bushes. I am suffering intense heat and intense cold. Nobody is caring for me. The thorny bushes are pricking me. So please rescue me from there. So The dream of a Mahabhagavat is different from the dream that we might have. Of course, Krishna is not restricted. He can come in anyone's dream. What to say of sadhaka? He can come in the dream of a non-devotee also. But generally, when it's, you know, when we hear the voice from within, we are not sure what it means. So we have to verify it through sadhu and shastra. Otherwise, you know, if you get a inner voice saying, let's go to the latest movie, so it's not Bhagwan who is telling, it's your own mind who is telling you. Swabhava jam shraddha. Because of your previous so many lives of identifying with matter, we now have a form of vasana, which is called swabhava. So that swabhava is telling us to do, which is further entangling in this material world. So that has to be overridden. How do we overwrite the voice of our swabhava? What do we convert swabhava jam shraddha to? Shastriya shraddha. What is the instruction of the Lord? So till the time Krishna speaks to us, we can hear his voice from the Bhagavad Gita. It's the same. And Krishna is personally incarnated as Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is Krishna speaking to us directly. So Paramatma gives general instructions for all. But Bhagavan, when it is said here, Sakshat Bhagavad Oktena, so those instructions are how to advance in the path of bhakti. This Paramatma doesn't give. Paramatma is generally giving instructions how to mold your life in such a way that you go towards God. And many people don't heed Paramatma's instruction. He keeps speaking, they keep ignoring. But Bhagwan, when Bhagwan gives instructions, those instructions are very specific and they give us the way how to advance in bhakti. It's different from Paramatma's instruction. Because Paramatma's functions are limited. Right? Paramatma, as we know, is one of the Purushavataras. So if there were no creation, there wouldn't be a need for Paramatma. In the spiritual world, there is no different manifestation of Krishna. Krishna is Swayam Bhagwan. So there we don't have to think, is it Paramatma, is it Bhagwan? It's only Bhagwan in Goloka. So Paramatma is generally like a supervisor, an overseer. So the instructions coming from Paramatma will be of that nature, generic and guiding. But Bhagwan is actually interested in doing Leela, Leela Parayana. And therefore the instructions from Bhagwan will be how to become a better devotee, how to love him better and serve him better. So we'll also touch a little bit on how Prabhupada says everything becomes spiritual when we have the right vision. So Mayavadis say sarvam khalu idam brahma. So what is the difference between a jnani saying that everything is spiritual and a devotee saying that everything is spiritual? Okay, let's try to understand. So when a jnani is seeing oneness, their oneness is, they see everything without distinction, without qualities. Everything is one. Nothing else exists. And apart from Brahman, nothing else exists. That's their understanding. They don't see qualities, they don't see distinction. They just see everything as Brahman. Therefore, they are convinced that anything apart from Brahman is mithya. Brahma satya, jagat mithya. So therefore, they go to the point of claiming this material world to be false. So much for your mental gymnastics. If you need a logic to fit in your argument, you are ready to make this world imaginary. Look at the extent of their arrogance. This world is not imaginary. This world is not unreal. It's real. It's Krishna's Shakti. Can Krishna's Shakti be unreal? It's insulting to God. If I say that, you know, I feel I am, you're such a best, good friend for me. But it's imaginary. Your friendship is imaginary. It's insulting the person. It's inert. If you ascribe imaginary nest to the Shakti, you are also insulting the Shaktiman, the energetic, from whom those energies are coming. So devotee, what does a pure devotee see? How does a pure devotee see oneness? Everything is in the Lord and Lord is in everything. That's how we began our discussion. So a devotee sees matter, a devotee sees spirit, and he sees distinction between the two, that matter is different from spirit and both matter and spirit exist. That is a higher understanding. And at the same time, they also understand that oneness also exists. So something that can give nightmare to our impersonalist is variety. Whereas a devotee celebrates variety. Our devotion, so every step is a dance, every word is a song. That is how Goloka is. So that is talking of variety. There is unlimited, unending variety. So only a devotee can understand how this nature is connected to God, a part of Him, and still different from Him. So that is that understanding that we need to have. This is the understanding of Uttam Adhikaris, as we saw. Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, Gopis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even when he was in Puri, he used to see a sand dune and used to call it Govardhan and go running after it. Was it Govardhan? You are Paramahamsa, Uttam Adhikari. So, it is said that Vrindavan, the tract of land which we visit, is actually part, this Bahumya Vrindavan is part of Goloka Vrindavan. When there is pralay, this Vrindavan is not annihilated. This Vrindavan goes back into, the Bahumya Vrindavan goes back into Goloka Vrindavan. And when the next creation takes place, again the same Vrindavan is manifest. So why are we not able to see that Vrindavan if it is the same Vrindavan? There is actually Krishna and his friends performing the same leelas which we read in Bhagavatam today in Vrindavan. Why are we not able to see that? Because there is a curtain of Maya. And who has the button to remove that curtain? Krishna alone. So when Krishna removes that button, who does he do it for? His Uttam Adhikaris. So they can see the reality, whereas we can see only the curtain. Therefore we think that it is a sand dune. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it is Govardhan. So who is right? The Uttam Adhikari is always right. Because their realization, their consciousness, their faith is superior. So what can we see actually? We cannot see anything with these eyes. We have to see through the eyes of scripture. Then we will start to see. So till the time we are not really seeing through scriptures, we are actually wasting our time. So when we engage things spiritually, so this is a classic tool of the Bhagavad Gita, which how to transform, you know, like they do magic shows. Krishna is the biggest magician. He can transform matter into spirit. Of course, God can do that. But what if I tell you God can give you the capacity to do that magic? A magic wand, which you touch to matter and it becomes spirit. What is that magic wand? Okay? In Bhagavad Gita, that process by which anything material is transformed into spiritual. What is that process called? Of course, Krishna consciousness is the ultimate answer to everything. But we are trying to build up a logical understanding. Yukta Vairagya, yes, that is Rupa Goswami's excellent erudite contribution, that he presented the teachings of Bhagavad Gita so beautifully. But if we stick to Bhagavad Gita, what is the process which converts matter into spirit? You all know it. Yeah. Brahma arpano, Brahma havir, Brahmagno, Brahmana hutam. ब्रह्म नैव तेन गंतव्यम ब्रह्म कर्म समाधिना. दिस वन श्लोका इज द मैजिक वॉन्ड विच कृष्ण इज गिविंग इन योर हैंड टू एंड योर स्पिरिट मटीरियल लाइफ एंड स्टार्ट योर स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ. सो वन डिसाइपल ऑफ हिज होलीनेस तमाल कृष्ण गोस्वामी महाराज वॉज टेलिंग हिम ही हैड अ जॉब एज अ जैनिटर इन अ कंपनी. सो यू सिंग माई मटीरियल लाइफ इज वेरी डिफिकल्ट एंड आई कैन नॉट फोकस ऑन माई डिवोशन सर्विस टू माई मटीरियल लाइफ. आई हैव टू पे अटेंशन. सो ही वॉज सेइंग दैट ओवर एंड ओवर. महाराज सेड लुकिंग एट हिम स्ट्रेट तमाल कृष्ण गोस्वामी महाराज ही सेड फॉर अ डिवोटी देर इज नो मटीरियल लाइफ. Even if our devotee is doing mundane things which materialists are doing, it is not material. Everything in a devotee's life is spiritual. Why? Brahma har arpanam brahma havir brahmagno brahmana hutam. So this yajna that we perform, symbolically it is offering of ahuti into fire. But what does it symbolically mean? It symbolically means to sacrifice your selfishness to connect to the divine. And then Lord mentions so many different types of sacrifices in chapter 4. So when we sacrifice our selfishness, that is why it is called yajna, sacrifice. And Krishna says in Gita, yajna dan tapa na tyajet. Even those who are manishina, even those who are purified souls will benefit if they perform yajna, dana and tapa. That is the way this world is working. Sun evaporates water from water bodies, and then clouds contain that water and then pour it over vegetation, and then trees give fruits, and then man takes those fruits and nourishes himself or herself. Is any participant in this cycle ever asking, what am I getting in return? The water body is not asking the sun, why are you evaporating? Give me something back. Pay me so many dollars. The cloud is not holding back anything. I am not going to get the fruits which I am, you know, I am giving water to the trees, but the tree is not going to give me fruits. I am just, so that is sacrifice. Sacrifice is not a choice, and it is not a favor that we do. It is the way this world is working. It is the nucleus of existence. This is the phrase in Vedas. Yajna brahmanasya jagatasya nabihi. So nucleus is the most important part of everything. So because everyone is doing their duty, the whole world is sustaining and we are able to gain nourishment. So we should be grateful to everything that we gain in this world. Devarshi Bhutapta Pitranam. So we are indebted as soon as we are born. We might pick up one fruit and eat it. But how many days was that tree standing under the sun to give you that one fruit? We don't think that. So we are not conscious of our living. This also is the basis of sustainability, interestingly. If you are not thoughtful of how much you consume, you end up consuming more than the earth can regenerate. This is basically non-sustainable. So sacrifice means to do our part in the plan of God, not be selfish. So duty is one level higher than reward. That is the whole message of the Bhagavad Gita in the first 6 chapters at least. Yajna, Nishkama Karma, and that of course blossoms into bhakti as Krishna's message goes on. So this is a very powerful tool. Prabhupada gives this beautiful, so I was saying, telling you about the analogy or the symbol of a yajna. So the ladle which is pouring ghee, the fire, don't see them as material things. All of them are Vishnu. Is the ladle Vishnu? Is the ghee Vishnu? It is. Prabhupada gives the beautiful. Prabhupada simplifies it so much that we fail to understand that, oh, it is such a profound concept. So this whole Brahma Arpana, Brahma Havir, Prabhupada simplifies by giving the example of an iron rod in fire. Once the iron rod is in fire, it gains the attribute of the fire. We are not Mayavadis who will say that the rod becomes fire. The rod retains its nature, but it becomes as good as fire. So when the ladle, the ghee, everything is meant to please Vishnu, because the purpose is to please Vishnu, everything becomes an offering to Vishnu. So that yajna is actually a channel, a place where we can go and connect to Krishna, connect to Divine. Can you imagine such a powerful tool? By adopting this, and as somebody said, it is the consciousness, it's the mindset. You can go about doing your job, but if you think this is yajna, this is not a business meeting, this is yajna, this is not a negotiation, this is yajna, this is not a conference. So all of it becomes spiritual. So it's the consciousness, it's the mindset which gives result, not the action itself. This is the basis of akarma. So Madhyam and Kanishta Adhikaris don't have that realization, or they don't have that vision to see Govardhan everywhere. They might have the philosophical understanding that every Krishna is everywhere and everything is in Krishna. But what does it take to transform your understanding into realization? All of us have understanding, but how many of us have realized it? Realization means you are able to put it into practice. What is the gap between understanding and realization? Submission, discipline. In one word, it is purification. So after having undergone purification, our realization becomes, our understanding becomes realization. So we start with following Shabda Praman, what the scriptures say, what Guru says. But that is not going to remain Shabda for us for entire life. By purification, that Shabda, their Shabda will become our Pratyaksha. Because we are also growing in our consciousness. So therefore it is not based on faith alone, it is based on faith and experience. In time to come, you will have experience of reality, which your Guru is telling you today. Today it might seem to you as his realization. If you are sincere, it will, you can own that realization. So what do we have to do? We have to continue doing our seva. We have to practice bhakti according to authorized method in parampara. That will lead us to this Uttam Adhikari's vision. Jnana and yoga will not give this Uttam Adhikari vision. So, and Malayadhaja was not a jnani or a yogi. Paramatma was not speaking to him, Krishna himself was speaking to him. So, one last verse I will shed light upon and we'll conclude. So, this summarizes what we have discussed, and it's also one of my favorite verses. This comes in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti hi pareshanu bhava viraktir anyatra chaisha trika ek kalaha prapadyamanasya yatha shnataha syus tushti pushti kshudapayo anugasam. So this verse simply says, when somebody is hungry and they start to eat, three things happen at the same time. Tushti, they are nourished. Pushti, they feel satisfied. And Shudapayo, their hunger dies. So, Bhagavatam says that bhakti also works in this way. Three things happen at the same time. What? Bhakti, Paraisha and Anubhav. So, the entire discussion of today's session is hidden in these three words, in this one shloka. First step is bhakti. Devotion. That is what we discussed is understanding Krishna tattvatah. So that is the first part. As soon as you start eating, don't you feel a certain sense of happiness? Chalo prasad aa gaya, half day fasting ke baad. So tushti is the first experience of ananda. So that is bhakti. Next, pushti. Don't you feel nourished? When you eat, your senses are again invigorated. You know, so pushti is referred, said it is analogous to direct experience. Anubhav. Para ish anubhav. Ish means Krishna. Para ish is referring to Krishna. Para ish anubhav, the anubhav of Krishna. So it is not a faith that God will come, that you will see God in Goloka. As soon as you start practicing bhakti, you have connection with God. Para ish anubhav. And Jiva Goswami says, this is the same as pushti. That experience of God sustains our devotional service. That is Krishna's hand. After a few years of practice, I'm sure all of us can see how we have landed here today. Krishna's hand has been there in our life. Why did we not do what our colleagues did? Why did we behave differently from our peer group at different points of time? With my friends in school, with my friends at work. Why did I not do what they did? Because of Krishna's guiding hand. I can see it very obviously. And I'm sure all of you can also. So that direct touch of Krishna is what sustains our bhakti. So if it wouldn't have been Krishna's touch, that bluish movement, as Gurudas Prabhu mentions in one of his book, we would not have sustained and be here where we are today. It's not our doing. It's Krishna's presence which sustains our bhakti. And finally, Shuddha Payo is referring to as Bhakti Paresha Anubhav Viraktir. So what happens when you have had nice meal? You feel detached. You don't, they say, Prabhuji Aurek, Mataji Aurek serving, bahut ho gaya. Puran. So that is not a simple thing. That is actually vairagya. The vairagya that comes from bhakti is organic. It's natural. It's not the vairagya of a jnani, which is forced and abstinence and repression. That vairagya is coming out of satisfaction. And therefore it is sustainable and also enjoyable. If somebody gives you a second plate of prasad after you have completed one plate, will you take it? Are you a vairagi? You are a vairagi because you are satisfied with bhakti. You are satisfied with Krishna's touch. So these are the three things that happen when we start performing bhakti. So these were a few points I thought I could share today in this context. Any questions or comments? Else we could conclude here. Yes, Prabhu. If someone has some work or seva, they can please continue. It's already over time. Yeah, yes, Prabhu. After you, Mataji also. Hmm.
Pushti, you said direct understand of Krishna.
Huh.
Then Shrutapaya means. Like
so, Tushti is the satisfaction of bliss as soon as you start eating. Pushti is nourishment. Your senses, if you are fasting for one day and you drink water, you feel enlivened. That is pushti. And third is kshuda apayo. So the sequence is bhakti first is compared to tushti. Then pareshanubhava is compared to pushti. So Krishna's presence is of the portion shakti. So we should see that. That is Jiva Goswami's analogy, not my creation. So, pushti is the Krishna. Para esha anubhav. The anubhav of Krishna that we are having is nourishing our spiritual life. And third, kshudapayo is viraktir. So beautifully they are connected. So this is the sequence. Virakta from anything that is unfavorable to bhakti. So, anukulasya sankalpa, pratikulasya varjanam, that is the vairagya of a devotee. Virakti from anything that will take me away from Krishna. So that is natural detachment. That is virakti. That is like satisfaction when we have eaten as much as we want. So that is the third part, Kshudapaya, Viraktir. Okay? And we can personally also discuss in detail. Okay. Mataji has a question.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class and such deep knowledge. And just a question which, you know, in the beginning of the class you said that we have to try to see Krishna in everything, you know, that's how we get connected to Krishna. In our life, you know, it's very easy to see Krishna in situation or in person when it is pleasing to you or makes you happy. You know, when you receive something or something happens good, you're successful in doing, you can see Krishna to some extent. You know, you thank Krishna. But my question is, how do we see Krishna in a situation when you lose something or, you know, a challenging situation? How do you see Krishna during that time? Because you tend to blame yourself, you tend to blame others, or you tend to blame the situation. So how do you see that time, Krishna?
Sure. So of course you have more experience and realization than me. But I'll try to answer in a theoretical way. Just yesterday, Gauranga Prabhu was mentioning in his class in the afternoon that devotees like stories where by practicing bhakti, someone gains some material thing. That isne bhakti kiya aur uske sare life ke problems khatam ho gaye. That is how Krishna bhakti is great. Hari bol. But bhakti and peace are not synonymous. So somebody who did our orientation when we entered bhakti has that responsibility of telling us that don't come here for peace. In fact, come here for sacrificing your peace if it is required to please Krishna. This is a tall order, I'm not doing it. I'm just telling you what the principle is. So we are not mumukshubhi. We went to an ashram, so like we call each other Prabhu Mataji, they call each other as mumukshus. Mumukshu Hari Gopal, mumukshu Vikas. So we are not mumukshus, so the orientation session has to happen properly. What have we come to bhakti for? There is nothing in it for us. There is no material reward. There is no satisfaction, there is no liberation, there is no peace. Why do you want to do it then? Because it's your nature. Because as jivas, we are part and parcel of Krishna and it is our nature to serve Krishna, and only in that nature we will find bliss and real fulfillment. By gaining even moksha, will not be able to find that bliss and that fulfillment. What to speak of other turbulences that we have in this world. So practically, how do we see Krishna in everything, good or bad? We have to accept Krishna manifests through different ways. So when the unfortunate incident happened of Shyam Vallabh Prabhu, so a doctor in of Ayurveda who left his body prematurely, a little early, accidentally. So everyone in the community was disturbed, and you know, everyone was feeling bereaved and lost. So Maharaj said this one simple statement: are you not convinced that Krishna is in control of everything? Not a blade of grass can move without Krishna's sanction. Statement number one. Any doubts? Second, that Krishna is everyone's well-wisher. Suhridam sarva bhutanam. How much can we love someone? They are Krishna's child. Krishna can love them more than we can love anyone. Suhridam sarva bhutanam, because they are Krishna's direct children. So if Krishna is our ever well-wisher and we put the first statement together, then how to understand things? Everything happened because Krishna sanctioned, and Krishna is also our well-wisher. What does that mean if we put them together? that there is something good in it for us, which we are not able to see today. Even Yudhishthir Maharaj was lamenting so much. Nobody was able to pacify him. He was feeling that he's the cause of so much death, violence, destruction. For what? Because I wanted to become king. So Krishna, Lord Krishna could not pacify him. Can you believe it? So Bhishma Dev finally pacified him. Beautiful shlokas talking of the power of time. Time being the representative of Krishna in this world. And the way time acts is not necessarily pleasing to us. It takes away people from our lives. It puts us into difficult situations. Naikatra priya samvasam. To have the desire to want things to continue as they are, which is today if some things are pleasing, to want them to continue, that is called attachment. Those days were so nice. I want to go back to my college days. That's attachment. So why am I not with my loved one today? That is attachment. Because we want, again, we want to benefit out of it. If it was love, if it was really affection, we would appreciate it for what we have received in the present and not be disappointed today. I'm so grateful I had a loving relationship with someone for so long. Why is it not today? Naikatra priya samvasam. Time and karma will not allow things to be as they are. So are you grateful for what you got? Then it is affection. Or do you want it to continue forever? That is attachment. So this is some perspective. And of course, it's difficult to go through it when, you know, what you are asking is actually a question of the heart. And I cannot answer it with the head. Philosophy, so if somebody has lost a loved one, you cannot tell them philosophy. You have to first agree and accept, yeah, it's I participate in your sorrow. I am also, my thoughts are with you. When somebody is relieved of that sorrow, then we might share some philosophy with them. But at least we should know it well before anything happens. So preparation before crisis. So as they say, if you train well in peacetime, you will bleed less in wartime. So therefore, these principles are to be cultivated every day, not when really some calamity happens. When it happens, we will go into a zone where we will not understand anything. And then we need devotees who will help us in that situation. Like Bhishma Dev helping Yudhishthir Maharaj. And so on and so forth. Narad Muni helping Vyas Dev. So, Sangha, counseling and practice. Something I could gain.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.